Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ted Wynn from The Athletic. And Ted wrote a great article. I referenced it yesterday, and we wanted to bring him on to talk about Ted's Film Room, how Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. can set the NFL on fire. You know, Dustin, I love when somebody writes something or does something that agrees with my narrative.
Sure.
And I've been saying for months that Beckham is a perfect fit for the Browns. And Ted's article just perfectly illustrates it. He has videos. It's a great job. Ted, fantastic work on this article, by the way. Thank you so much for reading. Yeah, it was great. I loved it. And, well, let's begin with this. Tell, in a nutshell, explain to the fans, we've been telling them to read it, but who haven't read it, why, in fact, Odell and Baker Mayfield are a marriage made in heaven.
Well, you know, first we could get into the stats a little bit. Yeah. Warren Sharp did a great analysis over success rates of certain routes, and Odell Beckham might be the best slant route runner in the league. He has a very high success rate on slant routes, and coincidentally, Baker Mayfield is great at throwing those slant routes, so that matches up as well. Baker is extremely good at throwing in contested throws. He's really good at ball placement, and we all know Odell Beckham is one of the best in the league at making those acrobatic catches. And I think Mayfield's going to give him better shots and better quality throws in those contested situations. And Odell hasn't really been utilized deep properly with the Giants just because Eli Manning, as we all know, is starting to decline and he's not as good as a deep ball thrower. And Mayfield's one of the best, according to PFF, so I think they're going to match up and really help each other out in those areas. Mm.
I love your line. You said Beckham will be going from one of the worst deep ball throwers in the NFL to one of the best. What do you think about Odell in terms of his – like? Because I don't even think of Odell as a deep threat since college, right? Because you never see him outside that one-handed catch against the Cowboys, like getting behind a defense. It just doesn't happen that often. But you think he's got enough speed and ability to do that here in Cleveland?
Yeah, he certainly has the speed to get by defenders. He runs a 4.4, which is extremely good. I was surprised he wasn't thrown that many fade routes, according to PFF. And I think, again, that has to do with Eli Manning and his declining ability to throw the deep ball. And we all know Mayfield has a very strong arm, so I think that is going to go up. I think his overall target numbers might go down just because the Browns have so many weapons that they need to feed. But I think of the percentage of targets he'll get a bigger deep ball percentage than he did with the Giants.
Ted Wynn of The Athletic is with us. Ted, you referenced in the article the fact that, you know, the Browns receivers last year really didn't do a great job of getting open, especially in the end zone. And with Odell Beckham, he obviously will be able to do a better job than that. Not to mention his height gives him a huge advantage in the end zone, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's not the tallest guy, but we know that he knows how to set himself up for the end zone fade. And obviously, he's one of the most acrobatic receivers in the league. So he's going to really help in that department. And it's going to be tough to decide whether you want to double Njoku in the end zone or you want to double Beckham in the red zone. It's going to be a pick your poison type of deal with those two.
All right, let's talk about your first kind of bullet point here. And you talk about out of structure targets. And for folks who don't know what that means, when you talk about structure, that's the play design, right? But when a play breaks down and Baker starts to scramble or move around the pocket and he starts patting that football around and he moves and all of a sudden you start to see like scramble drill and receivers either go deep, they go short, they get on the same page with the quarterback. Why do you think Beckham fits with Baker? Because Baker does that a lot.
Yeah, and that's another part of Beckham's game that really wasn't unlocked with the Giants because Eli Manning's just not an out-of-structure quarterback. Even when he was in his prime, he wasn't a guy that was going to break out of the pocket and elude pressure and make those type of throws. Baker Mayfield is one of the best in that department, and I think he's, you know, when you do that, you buy more time for the receivers to get downfield. But there's more chance of the coverage breaking down as you're buying time, and Beckham has just a great feel for finding those open spots, and I think that he's going to be a really good out-of-structure target for Mayfield. And we've seen last year, Mayfield made some amazing plays out of structure. And I kind of compare it to Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. They had one of the most special connections in the NFL. And part of it was because Roethlisberger was able to make so many out of structure plays and just heave the ball down to Antonio Brown. And I think that we're going to see a similar chemistry with Odell and Mayfield, especially when the pocket breaks. I know it's kind of unconventional, but I actually compare Mayfield to Roethlisberger. I think he's like a little mini Ben Roethlisberger, if that makes sense.
It does, in terms of his style, yeah. Ted Wynn of The Athletic is with us. Ted, you also talk about the Beckham effect, which is the fact that he's going to make coverages easier for the other guys. They're going to, you know, because he's so good, he's going to take the pressure off the other guys. And when it comes to Beckham and Jarvis Landry, it seems like their skill sets kind of complement each other very well. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, extremely well. Jarvis works in that short to intermediate area of the field. He's just a very good route runner, very nifty in that area of the field, but he doesn't really have the deep speed. But now with Beckham, he takes the top off the defense, takes attention away from Landry, and he could work against the number two corner and work against single coverage in an intermediate short areas of the field. And I think they just complement each other very well in that way.
You talk about Freddie Kitchens in this article, and some. And I know you studied the Browns a lot last year, and doing this breakdown, which is terrific. It's on The Athletic. We're talking with Ted Wynn, of course. What do you think Freddie now can do now that he's got Odell added to the mix? And you saw the tape last year, right? With what he was doing with what he had, but now he adds this Ferrari to the arsenal. How much more does that give Freddie Kitchens?
I think that just gives the offense more versatility because we know Kitchens wants to be an aggressive downfield thrower. He comes from that Bruce Arians coaching tree. And last year they were, you know, throwing deep shots to Perriman, to Higgins. But those guys are kind of one-dimensional. Those aren't guys that really can do much more than go deep. But when you have Beckham, he has the deep threat because he has that speed to get downfield. But he also can run a comeback effectively. So now when you're a defender, you can't just stay deep and wait for the receiver to come to you. Now you have to play the whole field. You have to be careful that comeback. And the comeback route is one of Beckham's best routes. And Mayfield actually throws a really pretty comeback ball. So I think just having to defend the whole field with Beckham, because he's not one-dimensional, I think that's the element he brings to Freddie Kitchens' offense.
Ted, when you see this offense, and you see David Njoku at tight end, how good do you think he can be? How good do you think he is as a pass-catching tight end?
When he was coming into the draft, I just thought this guy had so much physical ability, but he was so raw. So I just wasn't completely sold on how much his game could be improved and refined. It's kind of a mystery, but he just had all the tools. And last year, I thought he made huge strides, and he really surprised me with how productive and good he looked. But again, he's still just scratching the surface of his potential. I think he has more room to grow, and I think last year was very encouraging the way he developed, and I think he's going to make an even bigger step next year, especially when the attention is going to be taken away from him and he's going to be singled up and he can work the middle of the field and the seams.
What was the problem with Odell in New York? I mean, was it just Eli, you think, or was it not winning? He's a competitor. He's not happy with the situation because, you know, fans want to know, are we going to get a different Odell Beckham in Cleveland?
That I can't really tell you because I wasn't there in New York. I could tell you I didn't hear a lot of good things about him in New York from just other beat writers. But, I don't want to be rumor-mongering. But I think that just having a new start in Cleveland and having that sort of wake-up call can be good for at least a couple of years. You know, we'll find out how if he's really going to change or if he's really going to stop with the off-field stuff and just focus on football. But I think at least for a couple of years, just being traded, being a superstar of that stature and being traded at his age should be a wake-up call for him in Cleveland to just really put his best face on for at least the initial part of his tenure in Cleveland.
Ted, what do you think about in terms of, you know, the running backs? Obviously, I know that the article is more focused on the quarterback wide receiver combo, but you know, the fact that Nick Chubb was so good last year, and even though he didn't do it in college much, I thought he showed a decent ability to catch passes. We know Kareem Hunt can do that really well when he comes back for the second half of the year. What do you think about that aspect of the Browns offense?
Chubb is just a really good inside of tackles runner. I think he catches the ball better than people give him credit for, like you said. But Hunt just opens up more possibilities, because not only is he a good inside runner, he's actually a very skilled route runner out of the backfield as well. Whereas Duke Johnson's a very skilled route runner and pass catcher, but he doesn't really offer you that inside running ability. So Hunt just has that versatility where you don't know if it's going to be inside run or he's going to go out of the backfield and run a weak side option route and be a mismatch against linebackers. So again, that just more versatility for an offense will just be tougher for defenses to have to match up against. So the Browns just have an embarrassment of riches on offense. They look great on paper, but you're going to have to prove it when they snap the ball.
Ted Wynn in The Athletic with us. Ted, I wanted to talk about another column you wrote a few weeks ago. Why Dwayne Haskins should get a second-round grade. A lot of people talking about him as either the best or second-best quarterback in this draft. But you're saying he's second-round, he's worthy of second-round pick. Why? Tell us why.
Well, just to clarify, just because I'm giving a second-round grade doesn't mean that I think he should be drafted in the second round. Because you could have maybe
sure
40 first-round grades in a draft, but there's only 32 picks in the first round. So just based on his limited sample size, 1 year is not a lot, and just I don't think he has these crazy elite traits that make you say, okay, 1 year is enough. I really want to take a gamble on this guy. And his stats are a little inflated too. He had three receivers that are going to be drafted in the NFL. He has one of the best offensive lines in football. He has two running backs that might be drafted in the NFL. Two guys ran 4.3s from his receiving core. And he just threw a lot of short passes, and I have all the stats on that article, but he threw a lot of short passes that relied on yak. So his stats are a little inflated. 1 year is a short sample size, and his tools aren't just amazing, jump off the page. And I do like him, but I just think that giving him a first-round grade is a little rich, and in a better quarterback class, I think it'd be a little more clear that he might have a second-round grade from more people. I think it's starting to come out where people aren't totally in love with him, but this is a quarterback needy league. I think he's gonna be drafted top 10 or top 15 regardless.
What do you think about Kyler Murray, Ted? You think he's worthy of a number one overall pick? And if you're Arizona, is it worth moving off of Rosen for Kyler Murray?
I'm a big Murray fan because he has a short sample size as well, only 1 year. But there's so many things that he does well as far as ball placement. We know about the elite athletic ability. He has special arm talent and just his ability to place the ball. He's a lot smarter than people give him credit for. And for the Cardinals, I think it makes a lot of sense because they're going to go be an air raid offense, and they're going to run the ball more than people think they're going to run it, but they're going to be a pass-first offense. And when you're a pass-first offense and you're going to use a lot of five-man pass pro and that kind of thing, you need a guy that could change the launch point, change rushing lanes. And Kyler Murray does that. If you're in NFL and you just have one guy that's stationary in the pocket and you're passing the ball that much, even using that much five-man pass pro, it's easier for the defense to rush you. But when you have a guy like Kyler Murray, the defense can't exactly just pin their ears back and rush you. You have to play the rushing lane. So I just think it makes a lot of sense for the Cardinals. And he's played an air raid offense before. So I really like Kyler Murray, and I think it just makes sense for the Cardinals.
Ted, last thing, I know you cover the Raiders a lot, and I know you also wrote about Antonio Brown and Derek Carr recently. I've been hating on John Gruden. I'm not a fan. I don't like the old school nature of him, and I don't think it's going to work. We shall see. I thought the Vontaze Burfict move was ridiculous, but what do you think about the Antonio Brown acquisition and how that's going to work for him and Carr and the Raiders?
At first, I was worried that the Raiders might get impatient, or Gruden might get impatient and trade the Steelers too much, but they were actually patient in the deal. That might be part of Mike Mayock's influence on John Gruden, but they were patient. They waited it out, and they only traded a third and fifth round draft pick for arguably the best receiver in football. So I like the trade a lot. I think there's some things that Derek Carr and Antonio Brown have to wrinkle out and adjust with each other to get the maximum production from each other. But anytime you can add the best receiver in football into your offense, your team's improved. So I think they had a really good offseason. Some people think they paid too much for Trent Brown, but I think with the way the league is trending, that deal really wasn't that bad, and they needed a lot of pass protection. Tyrell Williams was a great signing. Essentially, that was only if you look at the guaranteed money, it's only a one-year, $10 million prove-it deal. So they're doing some prudent things. They have to add defenders, but I think just having Mike Mayock in that room really stabilized things. And there's, you know, also reports that the Raiders just seem more stable as an organization now with Mayock in the fold. So I think good things are happening with the Raiders.
Ted, we shall see. It's going to be fun. Great work. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ted.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.